Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with the Score. Ipswich Town 2, Chelsea 0. Obviously, very disappointing result and performance today. Chelsea stay fourth in the Premier League. Yeah, one of those days. We did have quite a lot of shots on target. Should have scored. But one of the worst decisions I've ever seen in football history for their first goal, and just abysmal defending for that second goal. And that was it, really. I can't say much more, but there'll be a lot of rants today, I'm sure. We want to hear from you. We want to get your views and on today's game and on our prospects this season. We want to hear from you, whatever your opinions are. So please do come up. I'm joined, as ever, by Louis and by Rambles. Welcome both.
Evening, guys.
Rambles, your first thoughts on today?
I mean, I don't want to be too reactionary, but today has told me we need to do some business in January. And I think we need to look at the kind of players we are targeting. We desperately need to bring in some experience. This squad is lacking experience. And sadly, I do think we need to look at specific players who, Reece James, Fofana, Labia, you know, we can't afford to be carrying players who are always injured. You know, as they say, the best ability is availability, and we're paying the price. De Sassi at right back just does not work. You know, in the Premier League, you can maybe get away with it in the Europa Conference League. You know, we can get away with playing Nkunku in up front in the Europa Conference League, but in the Premier League, it just doesn't work. And we need to address certain things in January, I believe.
Yeah, some good points there, Louis. Just some of your initial thoughts.
Evening. I think the look at experience is something we've been saying for a little while. As a group on the show. And I think, yeah, I agree with Rambles that maybe not January, because I don't know if there'll be anyone available that can really fit that bill. But definitely in the summer, Chelsea should look to review their options and bring in some experience, because I think the one thing that really, really got to me in that second half was the constant handbags. Like, I'm all for being frustrated. I'm all for wearing heart on your sleeve. But, you know, as it's such a young squad, I think there was a real lack of ability to channel that into the right places and doing the right things. And I think having some seniority on that pitch in that second half would definitely help. I'm not saying it would have made a difference to the result, because I think, you know, I'm no doubt we're going to get into that. I think the game itself, I genuinely, aside from maybe Cole Palmer in the first half, once Nicholas Jackson, where he was offside in the second, I don't think Chelsea carved out a real strong opportunity. But look, I think the other thing is, and I think it's our duty as a podcast and as people that are in the space, I think we need to remind everybody of the position that we're in now compared to a year ago. And as much as the last two games have been extremely annoying and have definitely dented a lot of people's confidence, because we were flying high, we weren't in the title charge. I think everyone knew that, and that's been made abundantly clear over the past two games. But, you know, we as a team have done really well so far this season, and I think, you know, this is just building blocks in the right direction. I don't think we should be too worried about top four. I think that's something which Chelsea will still achieve quite easily. However, you know, it is a case of there are things which need to be reviewed, and the last two games are things which are examples of that.
Very good points from both of you. I would tend to agree with most of that. My prediction at the start of the season was we would finish third, fourth or fifth. I'm still sticking by that. I stuck by that when we were second. And, you know, in that amazing form we were in, I'm sticking by it now. I still think that that's where we're likely to end up, probably third or fourth. I mean, fifth could be a Champions League spot this season if things continue in Europe as they are with English teams. So even fifth could be a Champions League place. I think people need to remember that as well. We're in a good position. We had a couple of bad results. Everton, I don't even think was that bad a result, given our record at Goodison Park. It's never an easy place to go. I wasn't expecting that to win that game necessarily, but I was expecting to win these last two games, and we've lost both of them. And it's very, very disappointing. And yes, like you say, we talked about experience a lot, bringing some experience, leadership into this squad. We kept saying it. And, you know, I think today, you know, like you say, we kind of lost it a bit in the second half. We let them get under our skin. And that partly is down to a lack of experience. So, yeah, 100%. I do want to start, though, with the thing that really... a lot of things annoy me about this game, but this probably annoyed me the most of all. And it had nothing to do with the players or the manager. It was the referee. Genuinely, I've been watching football for nearly 40 years. I have never seen a worse decision than the penalty decision in the first half. And it's even worse when you see the replay in slow motion, because it's so obvious from every angle that it wasn't a penalty and that he just slid along the ground. Leon Delap slid along the ground and dived to try and win a penalty successfully.
I mean, you say that, Scott. I do want to say, I can see him in the listeners. We do have a fantastic referee actually listening to the show. He's the referees guy for the best Sunday league in the country. And I'd really love to get his take on that, because I do agree with you. I was really surprised that was given as a penalty.
Yeah, and that changes the game, to be perfectly honest. If that's not given as a penalty, they don't score. And it's 0-0, might be 0-0 at half time. We might even get into the game and score, right? And maybe we're not going for it as hard in the second half and they don't get their second goal. It just changes the game. It's not an excuse. It's not why we lost the game, but nevertheless, it's a really, really bad decision. And it was just frustrating. It was just really, really frustrating that those decisions get made. And it's not just about Chelsea. We've talked about it on the show before, that the standard of refereeing are just really, really low and there's no consistency. That just wasn't a penalty for me. I don't blame the defence or the goalkeeper for that goal at all. It's just a bad decision for me. What did you think of it, Rambles?
Yeah, I've seen it back several times, and for me, it was a dreadful decision. And as a few people have stated, they were very quick to give the penalty, but it took them a lifetime to decide on the offside goal.
Yeah, I know, and that was more obvious to be offside than. Oh, anyway, yeah.
And it's just every single game now is being ruined by decisions. It doesn't matter who you support, everyone's falling to these dreadful decisions. And yet VAR was meant to bring some form of consistency, but it's just made things 10 times worse. At least before you could say, the referee's made a mistake and so on. But no, I've just had enough of VAR.
Look, VAR is not the issue. We can have this. We have this conversation week after week.
Yeah, VAR is not the issue. It's the people administering it.
Exactly. I think Rambles raised it perfectly. I mean, the fact that penalty was given and wasn't looked at and overturned astounds me. But I was sat watching that offside call, and I could see within about 5 seconds I was offside. We'll leave it. And then all of a sudden, we're sat here waiting for God knows how long for them to see what is, quite frankly, a very clear and obvious offside. Like, I'm sorry, have these guys been involved in football at all over the past, 20 odd years? Or are we just going to sit here and look at it and go, we'll just give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're new to the game. These are people that are supposed to be officiating the game and helping us take it to another level. What they've been doing over the past 18 months for me. I think probably longer, Daniel Charles made a very good point that PGMOL as an organisation, and again, I can see Mark in here, who again, I reinforce, is actually a very, very good referee. I feel that PGMOL as an organisation is useless now. It's completely outgrown itself. And he's in the speakers! He's finally joined us! I want to hear what Mark has to say about referees.
Right, this was definitely not a penalty. I'll tell you what, even fucking Stevie Wonder wouldn't have given it. And the thing is, it did go to VAR and they stuck with the on-field decision.
Just abysmal, isn't it? Like, I mean, there you go. Even a referee thinks it was a penalty.
Can we put score? Can I ask something if Mark would like it? I feel like we should have Mark as our resident version of Mike Dean, but less of a dickhead. Be quite nice if Mark's up for that.
Yeah.
Or you can get Lawrence as one as well. He's another referee in the group who's listening.
Yeah, we'll do that as well.
Great idea. I love that. I love that. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's good because, I mean, Chelsea are on the end of so many bad decisions. So, yeah, I think we need someone like that who's on our side. You see things from our perspective. But, like, that made me feel, like, negative right almost from the start. Because I was like, well, we didn't do anything bad that merited that goal being scored. And we're 1-0 down purely because the referee has made a cock up. And then we kept missing all these chances. We kept hitting the post. You had one where we hit the post and it went to Nkunku and he hit it straight at the keeper. Like, it was just like, oh, you know, like, you just began to get a feeling, you know, one of those days. You know, we had 20 shots in the game, Chelsea. 20 shots. Five on target, I think it was. You know, we had enough to score goals in this game, but we didn't score. But we'll get on to that. We've got a few people. I think we've had Mark come up who's requested. Make sure you do follow the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. Always some great content on there. There'll be great content on there later today and tomorrow. That's always worth a follow. Make sure that you give that a follow. So, okay, well, we've got Mark up here. Maybe some more questions about the refereeing today and some of the decisions that were made. Like, I mean, like, I think the offside decision for Felix was pretty much correct. I think we could all see that. But, like, did you notice any other decisions today that were just bad decisions or should have been different? Maybe the ones that went against Chelsea. Mark.
You're on mute, mate.
There was the decision, the Brighton game the other day, where the player went to elbow, swing the elbow. Everyone's saying it's a red card. He didn't catch him, did he? I know the intent's there, but he didn't catch him, so I thought that was a correct decision. But in our own referees group, what we've got, there's quite a big debate about it. But hopefully, when you'll see the League Cup semi-final being played, they're going to do the VAR in the stadium. So we'll see how that goes. So then,
is that confirmed?
Yeah. So that at least everyone can hear it.
Interesting. I did think today there was one decision I saw was Pedro Neto, obviously the second game in a row where he's been elbowed. Obviously there was an incident where he very much was straight in the referee's face in regards to Calvin Phillips swinging an elbow at him. Was that light in your eyes, or was that something which maybe should have been reviewed?
Well, if obviously I thought he got hit, because where I sit in, where I sit at Stamford Bridge, I thought he was elbowed in the Fulham game, but obviously replays show he wasn't. So referee's going to take a dim view of him keep going down holding his face. So that's probably why he didn't get the decision today.
Is that something worth considering with referees? Obviously everyone's human on the pitch. Is it a case of there are going to be some decisions where the referee is just going to maybe let the game flow on, which maybe in other instances would have been pulled back and maybe should have been pulled back?
Yeah, I think that all incidences really should be checked by VAR if there's incidences like that, because when Chelsea played Fulham the other day, you could see that the referee waited to see if there was an incident that happened, and then he pointed straight to the centre circle. So he did have his finger to his headset to see if he'd been hit, but obviously he wasn't. Yeah, I think all of it should be reviewed, to be fair. I know it'll take a bit more time and it adds more time to the game, but if you're going to get the decisions correct, it needs to be done properly, doesn't it?
Do you feel, is there any improvements that you'd make straight off the bat when you look at what's going on in terms of standard refereeing and the Premier League? Is there anything you think that could make an instantaneous difference?
The semi-automated offside system should be in place now, which said it was going to be in place beforehand, because you wouldn't have taken like 2 to 3 minutes for that offside, because you could see that Felix was offside straight away. Why did it take 3 minutes to get sorted?
It astounds me.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that it's the consistency as well as the decisions, you know, because they'll give different decisions for the same incident in different games. And it's just like this, and we've heard a lot of managers complaining about the lack of consistency and players as well. It's not even just the bad decisions, it's the lack of consistency that there's been in the refereeing decisions. And that's the most frustrating thing. So, yeah, thanks for your thoughts, Mark. Really appreciate it.
I'll tell you the other thing, though. VAR is not 100% factual, because it's all about opinions. The only thing that is factual and it's being used is the goal line technology. So,
yeah, and the goal line technology always gets it right. Like, always.
Yeah. it's like my decision saying, like, Felix got, not Felix, Neto got hit in the face. But when obviously when you could see it from a different camera angle, I thought he got hit. And with the out of a camera angle pointing towards where Felix was in the Fulham game, he never got hit. So it's all about opinions.
Yeah, that's right. Because you have people sitting at a desk making decisions about something they're seeing. So by definition, it is about opinions. Yeah.
Anyway, guys, I'm going to watch the darts as well while listening to you.
Well, enjoy that. Let us know. Let me drop me a text and know how it's going whilst I'm in here.
All right, no problem.
We've got Frank up here. Welcome. I've been talking to Frank during the game on Twitter, actually. We've been having a conversation, really interesting one. Frank, always appreciate your views. So unmute yourself. Let's hear what you've got to say.
Hey, guys. Thank you. Thank you, man. I think we had some disagreements there. But, overall, the game obviously was bad. When I call out Maresca right now, I'm not saying that he's bad, he should be sacked or anything like that, but I think for the second consecutive game, you can question his lineup and his decisions. Why do you have to write? I mean, I'm not even going to count Reece James. People keep saying we have three right backs in the bench. Yeah, Reece James is coming back from injury. I'm not even going to risk him for 1 minute, but you have two healthy right backs, natural right backs, and you play Disasi, who's not a right back and who is known for making the mistakes that he did in the second goal for Ipswich. And so whenever that Disasi made that bad pass, I was like, I'm not even surprised. He does that all the time. And so that's on Maresca for putting him in there and trusting him. The second point, a lot of people in the last few games kept going on Maresca. I'm kind of defending him right now for not playing in Nkunku and Felix a lot. Well, we saw him today. I'm not going to be harsh on them. I'm not going to blame them for the loss. But again, they brought nothing in the table, right? They're a Conference League level players. They're not a Premier League level players. I'm sorry to say that. Maybe them playing out of position, maybe Nkunku not being a striker, but still, even when he changed his position when Jackson came on, he pretty much did nothing. Like, his laziness is just showing us that he's probably sending a message that he wants out. And, you know, at this point, it is what it is, right? But for Felix, again, you got to question the 45 million. I think, I'm sorry if I'm mistaken, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Chelsea paid for him 45 million. You got to question that purchase, right? Because you got Palmer and you had Nkunku in the same position, and you bring him knowing for a fact that his first spell at Chelsea when he came on loan, he was not really effective. He has talent, he has quick feet, but he is so inconsistent and he rarely scores goals. And so the fee that paid for him, you got a question right now in the middle of the season. Chelsea are missing a lot of like critical positions they need like reinforcement, like a goalkeeper or maybe another striker or maybe another center back. Spending that money on Felix was not really the smart decision. But overall, the game was really, really poor. I do agree with you guys in the last conversation about the referee. It's becoming really ridiculous watching, like, not just Chelsea games, but any other Premier League game with these inconsistencies. You know, like, you have the VAR for such reasons to check the referee. You check that, and then they immediately clear it. It's like, oh, yeah, it's a penalty. I'm like, how is that a penalty? Like, come on. Have the referee go to the code, like the VAR, if the VAR told the referee, go to the, you know, go review it. They did their job. It's all up to the referee right now, but they did not even recommend that. So it's very frustrating. You got a question like, what's the VAR point if they're going to keep doing these stuff? You know, like they're not doing anything. They're not making the game better. They're slowing the game. They're making it more boring with their like useless reviews. And I really hope they fix that. The referees, whoever, like the body of like refereeing in Premier League, I hope they fix that. But overall, I said after the Everton game, I hope they do not make it a habit of losing points at this like point of the season, because it's a Premier League. But I hope next game is not going to be easy. It's Crystal Palace away, so they're in good form. I just hope they pick up, they pick up their form again and go on in a winning streak. And that's all. Thank you, guys.
I've got a question for you, Frank, before you go, in regards to João Felix, right, and Christopher Nkunku. I think, look, personally for me, I've always wanted to see Christopher Nkunku and Nicholas Jackson play together. I think to get the most effective nature you can out of Christopher Nkunku, you need to play him with somebody. And I'd very much like to see him play in tandem with Nicholas Jackson. We had that for 10 minutes today, between the 55th and the 65th minute, which was something I don't quite understand, but you know, that's another conversation for another day. Should Christopher Nkunku, as you say, you know, be signaling that he wants out, which completely makes sense, completely understand the position he's in. You know, he's scored a lot of goals. He's a player of serious quality that I think, given the right system, can definitely deliver. Do you feel that, you know, we're talking about an overloaded area with that number 10 position. Do you think João Felix is good enough to step into that void that Christopher Nkunku's really will have made for him in that Chelsea starting 11?
I personally don't. I wish Nkunku stays and Felix gets sold, but I know that's not going to happen just because they paid that huge fee for Felix and nobody's going to pay half of that fee for him right now. And I believe we're not sure what's going on behind the closed door, but just from his body language in the last few months, I believe Nkunku is not happy. And I think if an offer comes to him, he's probably going to just accept it.
I will say here as well, a friend of the show, Simon Phillips, has reported in recent days that Nkunku basically wants to leave. And probably in the summer, because we're not going to sell him in January unless we get a really good offer and we can replace him. But likely in the summer. And he plays like that today. Honestly, I'm a fan of Nkunku. I think he's a brilliant player. I think he's great talent, but he wasn't on it today. And I mean, he shouldn't be playing as a number nine anyway. He should be playing as a 10, which is his best position, but you know, Cole Palmer exists, right? So, but you know, is there an argument to say that Cole Palmer should be moved inside right for a bit, take the pressure off him a little bit, because he's getting man marked a lot in games and suffering a bit, and playing Nkunku there? There is an argument for that. So, some good points, Frank. Like, I kind of didn't want him in the first place. And then he started to impress me. But again, there must be a reason he's not starting many games. And he gave the ball away a lot at the start of today. And he was then offside for that goal when he should have been able to be onside, honestly. But he was offside.
Yeah, one last point. Yeah, so, I think Maresca, despite his mistakes and all that, again, but I think as a manager, he has been honest. He said it from the time he came in that anyone who does not perform in training is not going to start, no matter what their name is. And the reason why you don't see Felix playing a lot in the Premier League is probably because Maresca is looking at him in the training ground and he's like, he's not doing well. So that's probably why you don't see Felix a lot in the pitch in the Premier League games.
Yeah, I mean, he dropped Nonny for the last game, even though we had a few people out, because he wasn't training well. And I respect that. You know, and you've got to perform well in training to get into the team. Frank Lampard was the same when he was head coach the first time. You've got to perform in training if you're going to get into the team. And if you don't, then you don't. And that's how it should be. You shouldn't be able to get away with being lazy. And, you know, we haven't got, I mean, nobody in our squad is Eden Hazard. You can get away with not training well and then suddenly play world class at the weekend. We haven't got anyone in our squad who's like that. So, yeah, 100%, I think. And, yeah, I mean, we know there's going to be, we'll get to this at the end of near the end of the show, but there's going to have to be changes to the squad, like long term, probably in the summer, for us to take the next step. And we'll get to that. But yeah, no, some good points, Frank. Like, and yeah, I think you're right in that Maresca has made some mistakes. I think everyone has. I don't think there's anyone individual that's to blame. I think, you know, some players haven't been on it. We haven't performed as well. And Maresca's probably made some wrong decisions. You know, we've had a few injuries as well. Like, it's a combination of things. And also just, I guess, as well, we were due about a little bit of a bad run of form. I think it happens to all teams. You know, I mean, we've even seen it with Man City this season. Despite how good they are and how much talent they have, I don't think we're going to have a run like that. But nevertheless, yeah. So thanks, Frank, for coming up. I really appreciate it. Always good to hear your views. Thanks for coming up. So the next point I wanted to get to, and you know, this is about one player in particular. He's never been a popular player with Chelsea fans. I defended him last season. I thought he was pretty good last season, but this season he's been a disaster. And was responsible really for the second goal today. Really, just a really, really bad pass, which kind of basically led to the goal. And he's been linked with a move in January, and I'm beginning to think that we should try and get that to happen if possible and sign a centre-back to replace him. And I'm talking about Axel Disasi. So, Rambles, your thoughts on Axel Disasi?
Yeah, first of all, what I will say in his defence, I don't think he's helped playing out of position. No, him playing right back in the Premier League should not happen and does not work. But ultimately, he needs to be moved on ASAP because I don't think he suits how we want to play. I think he is a decent defender and he would flourish in another league. But in the Premier League and how we want to play, now I think it's time to just cut our losses and move on.
Yeah, my thought is he works better in a low block team. You know, a team that just plays, that sits back and doesn't try and get forward and stuff and just plays a more physical kind of game. I think
he would do really well in like a Sean Dyche, Sam Allardyce, David Moyes type of team.
Yeah, it would be a perfect club for him. It would. He'd do well at it, but he'd do well under Dyche. Yeah. Exactly. I absolutely agree with that, actually. That's a good shout. Louis, what are your thoughts on Disasi?
Just get rid of him. there's nothing we haven't said over the past 3 months where we can look at him and say categorically that he's good enough. Get rid of him. He's utterly shambolic. I understand what Ram was saying about, you know, being played out of position. That's on Enzo Maresca. That is a mistake he made today, where his lack of willingness to adapt and change. You know, Reece James, you know, he was on the bench, but realistically he wasn't available, right? You know, you have Josh Achimpong on the bench. You had Malo Gusto on the bench. I'm not going to speak for everybody here, but, you know, I put a tweet earlier and I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way, where if it was Josh Achimpong making that mistake for that second goal, do you know what? Yeah, we'd be annoyed that we lost 2-0. But I'd be far less critical because it would be a young player who can actually play in that position, who is being given an opportunity to get minutes on the pitch, right? That's really, this game really, really should have been a simple exercise. You know, you got to respect the opposition. You always do. And, you know, Ipswich showed what they're capable of. But, you know, also it's kind of a case of realistically, we need to make sure we know what we're doing here. Axel De Zassi, yeah. Chelsea quality, no. Premier League quality, absolutely. But for the former stated side, he is a bottom half of the Premier League centre-back. He is not somebody who actually brings value or quality to a top four team, ever. Because he's not good with the ball at his feet. He's slow. He's lethargic. He gets caught out of position. He is not somebody who brings anything to the side which is worth keeping in a 25-man squad. And I know that sounds incredibly harsh. Incredibly harsh. And it's something which, you know, I try to refrain from doing now. But it's been so blatantly obvious for an extended period of time that Axel De Zassi does not possess the qualities to play for Chelsea. He needs to be sold, and that is not a question now. That is a necessity. Get him off the wage bill and bring in somebody that can improve this squad.
So, okay. I agree with you, Louis. I agree with you.
Are you about to play devil's advocate? Oh, I love it when you do this. Go on.
Get ready. So, first, like, who do you sell him to? I mean, there is interest in him. So, who do you sell him to? First, and second, who do you replace him with? Do you sign someone now? Or do you
wait? Excellent question.
And who would you sign?
I mean, the dream signer for me is Mark Gahey. I think he's somebody who would really improve the side. And I think he is somebody who possesses the qualities to actually put Chelsea not only in the conversation for top four regularly, but potentially for a league title. And I strongly believe that. I think Mark Gahey's that good.
What qualities does he have that you like then?
I like Gahey's leadership. I like that he's can you say ambidextrous if it's both feet? I know that's both hands, but you know what I mean?
He's two-footed.
I'm gonna try and find the sexy word for it later. But yeah, no, he can use both his feet. You know, we've said in previous shows, he understands the DNA, et cetera, et cetera. Look, like we could wax on about Mark Gahey, and I think it's fair to say you and I have done that at extensive lengths over the past year
or
so. Massive fan. But granted, to answer your question, would he leave it? Would Palace sell him in January? I highly doubt it. Unless if we got Axel De Zassi off the books and we just went for it, which I could see happening. It's unlikely, but I could see it happening. More realistic, it'll be in the summer.
I would say the advantage of Mark Gahey is that first, they have Trevor Chalobah on loan. We could turn that into a permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's not coming back, no matter how much we want him to, he's not coming back. And also, we have this 20% sell-on clause with Mark Gahey, which means I think if we bought him, we'd essentially get 20% off fee we agreed. So if we agreed a £50 million fee, we pay £40 million. So we get him cheaper than other clubs would get him, basically, and cheaper than the asking price.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to the other advantage, is that he is a Cobham graduate. He knows the club. He knows what it means to play for Chelsea.
Homegrown, ticks another box there as well, from Liverpool's perspective, the squad selection.
He's played international football. He's played in a Euros final. He's proven in the Premier League. I think he's not tall, but he's actually quite good in the air. He's vocal. He's a bit more experienced than the rest of our centre-backs.
Mm-hmm.
And he can play left centre-back or right centre-back. And that's another really positive thing for him.
Well, I want to bring up a controversial point or an opinion.
Go on.
Is it about Mark Gahey?
No, it's not about Mark Gahey.
Is it about how much you love Axel De Zassi and Robert Sanchez?
No, it's not at all.
Go on then, Rambles. Let's have it.
I'm not saying we need to get rid of anybody or sack anybody, but I do think we need to look at potentially making a change behind the scenes. You know, potentially bringing in, you know, someone on the recruitment / sporting director side who's got experience with a top club who have won things, because I think we're not far away from being where we need to be, but we need to make sure the next signings are the right signings, because I'm seeing the players we're being linked with, and although they're very, very good players, I think we need someone who's been at a club to hang on. You really need to bring in two or three experienced players, because the players we're being linked with are very, very young. And whilst they are good players, and they would improve what we've got, I think we need those experienced players, someone who's maybe been there, done those, won trophies.
Yeah, yeah, and they're difficult to find. Honestly, they're difficult to find. But I hear what you're saying. I don't think that's going to happen in terms of changing the staff. The one bit of staffing I would change is the goalkeeping. What's he called? I don't know what, director of global goalkeeping or something.
Ben Roberts, I think his name is.
Yeah, like get rid of him, because the choices that he makes at for goalkeeper's recruitment. Nah, I'm not with it. I'm not down with it, especially not Robert Sanchez, you know. But yeah, we all know what everyone thinks of Robert Sanchez on this show. But yeah, I mean, maybe we'll get Simon Phillips over here and doing the transfer window, which might be a good thing to do. But he's been, I mean, Leon Delap, I think, showed today that that's a good recruitment target. I would love him at Chelsea. I mean, he's, you know, powerful, physical, holds the ball up well. You know, obviously he can finish, knows how to win a penalty. when it wasn't a penalty. Yeah, and obviously worked with Maresca before. I think he's got all the qualities that we are missing in an attacker at the moment, and could easily rotate with Jackson and would score goals. But yeah, I think certainly at the back, we need someone who's a bit more experienced. And Mark Guey is more experienced. I mean, he's, what is he, 20, 24, 26, something like that now?
I think he's 24, yeah. 25, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And he's been captain of Palace for about 2 years. Palace fans love him. I think he's a great leader. I think he captained Palace in his first season there, even. It wasn't the, like, official.
He got given the armband in his first season.
Yeah, he got given the armband.
I think Joel Waugh was the club captain, but I think they've made him part of that leadership group.
Yeah. So that shows you a lot about his qualities. And that's the kind of player you need in today, where you've got, you know, a team that's trying to unsettle us, that's trying to get under our skin. Someone like him just calming everything down, like telling all the other players just to keep their heads, you know, not get flustered, you know, keep, you know, that's what you need in these kind of games.
What would you say to Gerhi and Keller?
Yeah, I'd take both of them. I think Louis would as well. Louis is a fan of both. He's been advocating for both of them on his Twitter account.
I very much would do. I think my first choice for keeper is I think maybe a more sexy name, but you know, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not gonna turn my nose up at Kevin Kelleher at
the other goalkeeper we've been linked with by the Simon Phillips is an ex Chelsea player, Markin Bulka, whose contract is up in the summer. So that's another one to keep an eye on. But I think those two positions we need some people who've got experience in the Premier League, who've got experience playing in good teams, leadership, qualities, you know. And I think, obviously Kelleher's at Liverpool, who are doing well this season. And he's played in cup finals and won them with Liverpool. And Mark Guey, who we talked about. So they're two targets, I guess, that we can think about for the next couple of windows. But
I wanted to mention a centre-back name, which might cause a bit of debate. My friend actually suggested it last night.
Save it for January rambles.
we're going to talk about January stuff towards the end of the show. I just want to remind everyone about the voice note review that's going to be coming out. Louis will be doing that. That'll be on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account later today, certainly tomorrow. It's always worth it. A nice little three minute stuff about the match, little review of the game, always great with Louis, so make sure you check that out. And Rambles, it's time for your Rambles rant and Rambles rave. I think it's a rant today.
Yeah, it's a rant today.
So who's the rant then? Who's the rant?
It's not aimed at a specific player, it's aimed at playing players out of position. De Sassi right back and Nkunku playing as a striker, it just does not work in the Premier League. You can get away doing this in the Conference League, playing against the level of opposition we've been playing against. But in the Premier League, it just proved today, it just cannot happen, does not work. and it's something I never want to see again. You know, if Jackson can't play for whatever reason, or he's suspended, or he needs a rest, I'd rather we just go with Mark B up front.
Yeah, Sparky Play-Doh, yeah.
Sparky Play-Doh, yeah. Because, you know, I just think, I also think his physical presence would add a lot more than what Nkunku brings. And that's not his fault, because he's just not a striker.
I would have been happy to see him play today, actually. You know, you always got Nkunku or Jackson there to come on if necessary. But I think Sparky Play-Doh's got the physical attributes to deal with these kind of games. Even if he doesn't score, just holding the ball up, winning headers, all of that makes a difference.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Gui up front with maybe Nkunku just behind him and Palmer off the right.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that's a great shout. It really is. Like it gives him, Nkunku plays in his best position. Palmer played on the right a lot of last season and got tons of goals coming in from the right. So there's no reason why he couldn't do that again. And then I would have Neto on the left, personally. He's our next best attacker. Absolutely agree with that. And I think, the De Zerzi thing, well, that just has to end. I mean, he has to be sold, as far as I'm concerned. And I would play Josh above him in that position. And like Louis said, you can understand a young player making a mistake. He's like 17, 18, just making his way. But a 26, 27-year-old, no, that should not be happening. And that's not good enough. I think to be fair to Maresca, Gusto hadn't played well recently. He's not been in good form. And he's played a lot of games as well. So I can understand him not playing today. That Zazi thing has to stop. And he has to give Mark Geary a chance up front. If Jackson isn't playing, and Jackson needs to sort his form out as well, because he's not been in form the last two or three games. I think, we haven't looked ourselves the last couple of games. It's weird, hopefully it just happens in football though. Teams have bad runs of form. It just happens, especially when you're an inexperienced team. You know, it can happen. And it's just happened to us against teams that we should be beating, really.
I think sadly, we're also playing, I think fatigue is certainly playing a part for certain players. I think in the midfield, obviously with Lavia out, we haven't been able to
rotate
Caicedo and Enzo.
Yeah, and I think that's why we should probably bring a midfielder back in January. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We've got Hugo Chukwu who could come back. He's not really playing for Southampton. And he's got that physicality as well in midfield, which you could use against teams like Ipswich and Everton and Fulham. So, 100%. Some good points. Good rant, Rambles. Good rant, as ever. Always respect your rants. So, okay, we'll get to what we'll get to now. I think we've touched on this already, but what can Maresca do to turn this around? What decisions does he need to make in terms of tactics, team selection, whatever, to turn this around? Because obviously, it's clear we're just not performing well at the moment. We're also not getting much luck either. To be fair, we hit the post. Today we hit the post and other games, we've been a bit unlucky as well, and getting some really bad decisions, which is nothing to do with Maresca. But, obviously I think everyone's been a bit off the last couple of games. So what can we do to turn this round? Louis, what are your thoughts on that?
I think turn it round's probably not the best choice of words. I think that realistically it's, we're on the right track still. I don't think we're in dire straits yet. Look, Chelsea are on target to achieve what they need to. I think it's just a case of tweaking things slightly and looking at the situation. Whether or not that means that, we're going to really make some big sweeping changes, I think remains to be seen. I think maybe bringing back centre midfielder, just reinforcing those options. I think a big issue, and Dan's raised it in the Voice Night review a couple of times when results maybe haven't gone our way this season, or there's been some clear spaces between, you know, the quality of the first team and the second team, shall we say, which we've seen tonight as well. I do think that the things that need to be done to tweak this is bring in some quality. Whether or not that's going to be somebody who steps into the first team, or whether that's going to be somebody who can step into the second team, it remains to be seen. But it's a case of we just need to have the quality within the whole squad just slowly start to come together. But look, I don't think it needs to be turned around. I think we're on the right track still. It's just those little tweaks.
Fair point. When I say turn around, I really mean just stop the rot in terms of get back to winning ways, you know. But that's fair. I mean, I don't think it's that bad. I mean, I have a lot of faith in this squad. They're just lacking a bit of experience. They're lacking in a couple of key areas. I think that's basically what it is. And we're, like you say, we're on track for where the expectation was, which was top four and win the Conference League. And I think we still will achieve that. But Ramos, what about you? What are your thoughts on this?
Likewise, I think we are on course to achieve what we set out to at the start of the season. And I don't really need to panic, but I would make a couple of tweaks. I would promote Josh Achimpong. And if Gusto's not playing, I would have him playing over De Sassi. And I would go all out to bring Leslie Quattrugo back. Because I think we do need to give Enzo and Caicedo some kind of rest, or some take them off during games. And although I think Leslie's one of these players, I know Southampton know it hasn't gone particularly well, but I think he's the kind of player who would probably flourish in a better team. So he's definitely someone I would look to bring back, and I would look to give minutes just so we can give other players a bit of a rest. Because I do think the midfield maybe starting to look a bit jaded. And, you know, that's just unfortunate with Lavia being out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think bringing back Ogutricka would be a sensible thing to do. He hasn't played enough at Southampton for me to warrant leaving him there. And I think he actually probably might even play more at Chelsea. I mean, he's definitely the kind of player you can bring on when you're trying to see out a game. You need a bit of more physical, or you're playing a physical game and you need some physicality in the midfield and you want to rotate. Absolutely, he's that player. Like, I think that Southampton have actually played well when he's played. I don't think there's any reason for them not to have played him. It doesn't make any sense to me, because he's played well for them when he's actually got minutes. And I think they won with him starting the other day as well. And they kept a clean sheet even, I think, with him on the pitch. So, yeah, I mean, I would bring him back. I would sign a defender in January, centre-back, and sell De Sassi. That would be my January business, really. And in terms of incomings, try and do some deals for the summer if you can. I mean, I'm okay with them trying to get Dilap done for the summer, and maybe start looking at left wingers for the summer, because Mudryk could be banned, and because we could be losing wingers in the summer, as well as gaining one, because we're getting Estevao Willian in the summer. But other than that, I don't think we should panic. You know, there's people already on the timeline, I think, panicking and wanting us to go and spend loads of money in January and whatever. I don't think we'll do that. And that's a good thing. We shouldn't panic. Because you don't want to make panic signings never work out. You've got to be strategic in your signings. But you're right. I mean, Louis is right in that, you know, we don't need to panic and that we're still on the right track. We've had a couple of games set back. Yeah. Well, that happens in football. It was going to happen at some point. You know, I did actually say we would have a bad run at some point, and we're having it now. And that's just, you know, the good thing is, that we've only got one more game, and then we've got a couple of weeks, then the first team will have a couple of weeks off, because of the FA Cup game, which, you know, obviously we'll play the B team, and our C team should be able to win that game, quite frankly. Everyone will get a few days off to rest, recharge, clear their heads a bit, you know, and we can come back and then we've got Manchester City away, just as they started winning again. typical of Chelsea's luck, as usual. But anyway, yeah, some good points there. Like, I think the important thing is not to panic. And, yeah, Maresca has, people are going to start. I've even seen one person going Maresca out already today, which is just madness. And it's just typical of
Surely that's as a joke, though. That can't be serious.
No, they were serious. They were absolutely serious. And it was like, I can't believe this. I can't believe people are saying this. Like, what do you want to do? Change your manager every time you lose a couple of games? You know, it's just absurd, you know. But yeah, that's part of that. I think that's a minority. I don't think anyone's really seriously asking for him to go. So he's done a good job so far. And he just, I think he just deserves the chance to turn it around. And I think he can. I think tactically he's good enough to turn it around. And he'll figure something out. You know, he hasn't really had time with the players the last few weeks because it's been one game every 3 days. And we've not had as much fixture congestion in the Premier League as we have in the last week or two. So that's something that needs to be looked at as well, you know, but yeah, good points from both of you. I agree with you on both. And also, like, we want to hear from you. There's lots to talk about. We've got today's game, and also we've got, the January window coming up as well, and chance to refresh the squad and get rid of some players. So any views you've got on the game or on January, on how Chelsea are doing this season, please do request. We'd love to hear from you, Louis. You'll be keeping an eye on that. We'll let you up.
I've got someone coming in now, mate. Just thought I'd let you know.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. Great.
Ikeme is coming in.
Fantastic.
And he's in. Do you want to turn your mic on, mate? Going once.
Unmute yourself.
Going twice. Mate, unmute yourself.
Okay. Good evening, everyone.
Hello, mate.
I'm speaking from Nigeria.
Welcome. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's really a sad day. It's a sad moment for us, and it's not a place to be happy. And I'm really, really disappointed that we couldn't get a result or a point. A point was least we would really want from this kind of games, you know. And it's unacceptable. I was in this space earlier when someone was speaking, and he was comparing our position within the last year, and he said we are better off now than we were last season. I understand that is very, very, very true. Very, 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 very true. But that shouldn't be an excuse for losing this kind of a game. You don't lose this type of games. You know, I want to say something. The mediocrity in the team is not supposed to be there. From the manager and from everybody, even the fans. I'm not a Chelsea fan. I've never been a Chelsea fan of mediocrity. You know, there's this general saying that we are not winning the league, you know, and all that. I know. But come on, why can't we win the league?
We're performing tonight's evidence of why we can't win the league, mate. I think we need to be real here. We're not ready to win the Premier League. The competition is far too extensive.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. But in the past performances, with our performances, we really know that we can really go at it. Now, I'm not saying we should win the league. You know. When Liverpool employed appointed Arne Slot as their manager, what did they tell him? Did they tell him to go and win the league? There was no expectation, mate. But they are topping the league. Who told them, the Liverpool tell Arne Slot, you must win the league? No. When the last time Leicester won the league, when their past manager was appointed,
yep.
Was he told to win the league? These things,
no. I think I know what you're saying about Leicester, and like they weren't expected to win the league. No one expected them to win the league. I think yes. that year, that year, I think, I mean, they had an experienced squad, to be fair, but also that year was like an anomaly. You know, it was a miracle. I don't think we've ever had to win the league this season. I don't think many people, I don't think anyone had us down to win in the league. I think as a long-term ambition, of course, that's what we all want for Chelsea, right? We all want to win the league eventually, but it takes time to get there. I think we just got to back the team until and keep getting behind them. Hope we can improve the squad, and then in time, hopefully, we can have a team that challenges for the Premier League again. That's what all fans want. I don't know any Chelsea fan who doesn't want that at some point, you know. But I think just being real, as Louis said earlier, we've got to focus on the now, and like top four is the goal this season. We're still on course for that. Thanks for your contribution. Appreciate it. I think we've got some other people that might want to come up as well. But in the meantime,
should we do a speed round before we wrap up?
The 1 minute round, isn't it?
1 minute speed round. So get
your counter out. We're gonna do 1 minute rounds, and then we're gonna wrap up.
Next one. Okay, got one coming up to speak now. Oh. Am I not? No, it's not working. Okay, we've got one here. We've got Martins coming up.
Fantastic. Bambles, you got your countdown ready?
Yeah, let me just get my clock ready.
Hello, Martins. Give us 1 second. You got your 1 minute speed round coming up in a second.
Hang on, Martins.
Rambles, you ready?
I am.
Right. 3, 2, 1. Go, Martin.
All right. I just want to express, should I call it fears, as a result of this game that we just lost, you know. I'm just like, where do we go on from here? Because when you look at it, it's as if Maresca has exhausted the options he has on the bench. And we can see that Caicedo and Fernandez, they are running out of gas as a result of so many minutes in field on the pitch. I heard someone said, yeah, we are missing out on Lavia, and when we have him back, definitely it's going to add something to our team. But my fear is Lavia is in the same injury category as Rhys James, and definitely we can't count on him, and it's going to affect us if we keep depending on Lavia,
I mean,
because
done
of his injury record, you know. But like I said,
thanks, Martins. Thanks for your thoughts. Appreciate it. That's a 1 minute round. Well done, Rambles, for doing your thing. Appreciate it. Keeping time as ever. Well, it's been a difficult day for Chelsea fans. Not been the best result today. Bit of bad luck. Bit of a bad performance as well. Not our best game today, but we're still in a good position. We're still in the top four. We're still in the Conference League. We've got the FA Cup coming up as well. Chelsea are in a good position going into 2025. And I think we will improve over the season. I think we'll get better, and I think we'll get top four, and I think we'll win the Conference League. So, you know, not the best today, but we'll come back from it, I'm sure. Rambles, your final thoughts on today?
Yeah, very disappointing performance, but I don't think it's the time for panic stations. I think we just need to remain cool and calm and collected. And I think we just need to look at making a few tweaks for January, whether that's what we've got in-house, and maybe try and bring someone in. But I certainly think we should be encouraged by what we've seen in the first half of the season. Because if you said to any Chelsea fan, we'd be fourth place heading into New Year's Day, they would have taken that, no questions asked. And we are in touching distance of the teams above us. So I think all in all, a lot of room for positivity. But we do need to look at just making one or two tweaks for January.
100%. Well said, Rambles. And Louis, your final thoughts?
Nobody panic. It's a poor run. They happen. But 2024, in the end, it's been a pretty good year for Chelsea. Onwards and upwards in 2025.
Absolutely. Well said, Louis. Yeah, absolutely. So, just some final plugs. Make sure you check out the Chelsea Yucko Twitter account. Always worth a follow. Some great content on there pretty regularly. There will be a voice note review on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account in due course. And tomorrow, this show will be available on the available as a podcast on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. Thanks everyone who has contributed today, Louis, Rambles, and everyone else who's come up and contributed. We really appreciate all of you. This show is about you, and you make this show happen. So thank you for your contributions. Thank you also for all your support this year. We started this show in January, and we're still going strong, and it's getting better all the time, and I'm really enjoying doing it. And it's great to connect with fans like this and to talk to fans about the club that we love. So really appreciate everyone who's listened this year, everyone who's been part of this, and onwards and upwards into 2025. So thanks everyone, and up the Chelsea.